Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer. We got a lot of stuff to cover on the show today. I've had to do a lot of packing. I'm getting ready to head to the Bahamas. We'll get into that in just a bit here on the big show. But a lot of stuff happening this weekend. Our World Underwater, big diving event in the Midwest in Chicago, is going on this weekend. The Scuba Cowboy is there representing accordingly and staying warm with all our Midwest diving friends. And we're going to get reports on how things are going up there. Also, we're going to talk to a new mermaid, new Scuba Radio mermaid, that actually is a model actress, and she does all kinds of crazy stuff.
Thank you, Greg. I'm so glad to be with you today on Scuba Radio.
You're going to have to work on that accent. She's from Cuba. But we're going to talk to her if things go as planned. And then, we got some new technology, new dive stuff. Some friends of ours have released some new dive computer stuff that you might find handy for your, underwater enjoyment. We'll get into that. So a lot of stuff to cover on the big show today. But before we get into that, by the way, we got a new chat room at scubaradio.com. You just click on the chat tab. It'll pull up a new software package if you want to chat live with us while we're on the show today. We have the room open for your amusement and ours as well. But we have Captain Patrick, who has been held over from the World of Boating radio show today to talk about a novel. What do we call this thing? A novella?
It is a novella.
A novella, which is a flavor of ice cream.
No, that's what? Neapolitan.
Oh. Okay.
No, well, it's a much bigger deal than that. Ladies and gentlemen, live everywhere you can go, assuming every place you can go is Amazon.com and or the studio.
You can get Kava screwed.
You can, which is almost but not entirely unlike getting laid, like they do in Hawaii.
Oh, you're right, exactly.
Actually, the new novella by Patrick Prenito, available on Amazon.com, Kava, K-A-V-A. Screw. And right. We have now read it. Actually,
we have read it.
I've read it and you had it read to you.
I'm ready to give it a review, but before I share my thoughts, Patrick, let's talk about how this originated, how this story that you created, which is fiction, it isn't nonfiction.
Based on true events, I understood.
Well, we came back from one of our trips in Fiji.
To Fiji.
A couple years ago.
And you bought a brain fork. Back to the studio.
I did. That was a souvenir that I brought Patrick and Bill. I didn't give it to them. I just showed them that, hey, I got this for someone else.
Here's a gift that I got to show you.
Right.
That stuff that looks like blood. It's not blood.
Yeah. But it was a brain fork from the, back in the cannibal days of Fiji.
Which was two Tuesdays ago.
Yeah. No, they don't do that anymore. But they still sell the utensils. They would use to eat the brains out of humans. I don't know. It was crazy stuff, but I thought
because every person wants to have a fork that looks like it was used to eat a human brain.
Yeah, I'm always looking for some unique type of souvenir, and I think this one fit the bill better than anything I could ever find anywhere else on the planet. So I got this brain fork, And evidently your creative juices started flowing from this.
Well, no, you wouldn't shut up about the trip.
Right. So it was kind of, so you know, I was coming up.
You were talking about the kava ceremony.
Right,
and drinking kava.
I was gloating is what you're saying, as I normally do when I come back from one of our adventures.
Just behaving normally.
And this time you decided to lash out in written form.
Yes.
Vent, a form of therapy, and you decided to take this as inspiration to create this little short story. And
not a short story.
You use the names to...
Yeah, it's like 120 pages long. It's really 98 pages at full size, but the book is not full size.
The paper one is like 126. The e-book works out because of the way they format it. It's about 98 pages. Would it take you a couple hours?
Yeah, maybe.
It's not a short story. It's not 6-8 pages. This is a legitimate novel, but just not as long as a novel.
Right.
About 41,000 words.
But it was a form of therapy for you to get back at myself and Bill or whoever else that you have this pent-up rage.
If you say so.
Against. Because you used our names in this novella.
The conversation we had was, you know what? The trip to Fiji and to Brain Fork and the conversation, that sounds like it would make an interesting book.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll write something down.
Yeah.
To which you said, but you have to use my name.
No, I don't remember that.
Because...
I had a brain fork stuck in my head, so I could have forgot. But I don't remember.
I didn't use your last name.
Yeah.
What I used was Greg, middle initial D,
yeah.
last name, Masters, because you wanted to be Greg the Dive Master.
Yeah. Okay, I don't remember this conversation, but whatever, who cares?
I've also read the book now, and now
I realize how much he hates me.
Well,
he hates me!
You're going to give it away. Don't give it away.
I'm not giving it away. I'm just saying.
You're giving away the prologue, which I believe is free and available online.
Maybe.
Ubadio.
Or maybe
Ubadio.
Not.
Ubadio. 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 Ubadio.
All right, you quit with your Finding Nemo nonsense. Now, look, this was, it was basically therapy that turned into this story that is quite entertaining.
I think what's really interesting is your interview technique. We have an author here, and instead of asking him what he thinks, you tell him what he thinks, and then you allow him to agree with you.
I think it makes Greg feel better to say that it was a form of therapy instead of just... You know, it just came out of my head.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It was definitely inspired by our constant abuse of Captain Patrick.
No, that wasn't.
And
it was a little bittersweet, though. Well, I kept getting reminded of Scott.
What, the brains that you're eating are bittersweet?
The best thing coming out of this book is that a character has been developed, which will go on to other stories, and that is... arguably the world's worst private detective, Kevin Keeley.
Yes. Okay. Fair
so
enough.
Borrowing from Bill and, of course, our
late friend, Single Scott.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yeah. So Single Scott is represented in there. Abby, we'll just leave it at that. Some of the old mermaids. Nikki it's interesting what you incorporated into this. I do, and I give it two fins up.
Hey, I love the effort.
I definitely love the effort. Despite the lashing out in some of the context, but you got to read that for yourself, and the reason I'm not letting him talk that much, Bill, I'm trying to inspire him for the next story. You hear what I'm saying? That it worked for this one,
Greg. You're
if I abuse
dead.
Him enough,
you're already dead. He can't make you deader.
Yeah, but you know I could come back as a ghost.
Not happening.
Come on.
Yeah, he's gonna rewrite that. Well, you're Patrick Swayze. Well, that's going to work.
You're in Fiji, the island of spirits and stuff. You know, I drank some kava. I got people started seeing.
Make sure you check out Kava Screw on Amazon.com. And if you're on Facebook and if you follow Scuba Radio, you can go to ScubaRadio.com. And Scuba Radio has a Facebook page. If you're on the Facebook page for Scuba Radio, you can also, right on that main page, there is a link to Kava Screw at Amazon, and you can find Kava Screw on Facebook.
And we're not talking about an expensive book. We're talking about at $2.99. It was the least amount of money on Amazon that I could charge for the book, the way that it's set up. So, I mean,
yeah.
It's for less.
So this isn't a money making venture you're going for. You want to get it out to the masses.
Yeah, I mean, for less than what you pay, I think, as Bill said, for a cup of your Starbucks coffee.
I wouldn't even get half a cup for that.
So what took Bill a couple hours to read took you what, about a day?
About three sessions in the
reading room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. That gives you...
I read in the living room. I would just like to point that out. I read that book in the living room.
I mean, at least Bill was texting me.
You have a toilet it. in your living room? Man, he's weird. Anyway, definitely go check it out. Kava Screw, there's a thing right there, a post right there on the front of the Scuba Radio homepage, our Facebook page. Go get it. It'll be a good read. And you might get a chuckle or two if you've been listening to the show and figuring out how Patrick deals with the abuse we give him week in and week out. He's found a way. We'll see where it goes from there. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
The dive pros at the DEMA show know, and now you do too. Dominica's Fort Young Hotel is offering a DEMA dive show getaway. 5 days of diving, marine park fees, daily full breakfast, transfers, $50 resort credit, and 7 nights at the luxurious Fort Young Hotel for as low as $1,063. From whales to waterfalls, Dominica has it all. A diver's paradise even non-divers will appreciate when staying at the Fort Young Hotel. Go to FortYoungHotel.com and book your DEMA dive getaway to Dominica now. That's FortYoungHotel.com.
Light and Motion, leading the industry in high-powered LED lighting and underwater video systems year after year. Light and Motion, consistently ranking at the top of the innovative technology spectrum. Light and Motion, 100% built in the USA in a historic warehouse on Cannery Row since 1989. Light and Motion, tomorrow's technology today. Light and Motion, look for the name the pros trust in a dive center near you. Light and Motion, on the web at lightandmotion.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Hey, look here. Every once in a while, okay, there's a technological breakthrough. All right, it's what we call in the business a game changer. They got these things today, I'm telling you. You can go deep sea diving with one, okay? First, there was the clapper. You got the slap chop, George Foreman grill. Then you got this little baby right here, okay?
It tells you all the stuff about the oxygen content in your tank.
If I'd have had this thing back in high school,
the depth, okay, that you can go.
You talking about do some math.
That watch does it?
No, this thing here only costs $25. It's a calculator.
He's a high-tech diver, underwater man of mystery, a genuine survivor, with all the latest dive technology.
Yes, you know, when diving is actually working its way into Doug Dynasty, you know we're on to something. There must be some fun associated with this whole diving thing, because that's all they do on that show is have fun. So if Sy's into it, that's a good sign. I'll take his endorsement. He's trying to get a dive computer. Sounds like he needs a little bit better one than the one he's fiddling with right now. But it's a start.
Yeah, I feel dumber now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's... welcome to the rest of the world there, Bill.
Wow.
Anyway, dive technology is something we try to track as much as we can on the show. And my good friend Alberto from Dive Nav is on Scuba Radio once again to help us in that regard. Alberto, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Greg.
So now you guys did this, the Blue Buddy, which was a, you know, it was a way to log your dives wirelessly with your dive computer, or just put it on your BC and it'd be a logger. But then it would work with your cell phone all wirelessly, and it was a way to track your dives. You started this like on Kickstarter, which is a unique way to fund the startup of this business. And this thing has been very, very successful. I use mine. I love it. Now you got a new thing that, well, you know, there's actually a couple things. You know, we were talking about the new Patty open water course last week on the show. You guys have worked out a deal with Patty where you're helping them out with dive simulation that's working its way into the course work as well, right? I guess let's go there
Correct.
First.
Correct. Yeah. We have been working with Patty for the past, well, I would say 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, right.
But really, in the last 12 months, we've been working closely, and they are using our DivePal simulator into their new open water course. And basically, it's a tool. It's an app available on Windows, iPhone, iPad, Android, that allows a student diver to see simulation of a real dive computer in action.
Yeah, so as part of your Patty Open Water Diver course, the new course that Patty just has launched, you can go in there with your student and say, all right, hey, download this app to your phone. It's called DivePal. You can actually see what a computer or what your computer should be reading and have it simulator. You know, the thing is, what's even cool, you can actually customize it to the specific dive computer they're using, right? Because you have a lot of them built into your program, I guess. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
We have about 50 model-specific dive
wow.
computers in the simulator, and all of those are available for free to Paddy Open Water students enroll in their new scuba course.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really nice, you know, benefit to have and actually have the students see what should be on their, you know, on their wrists or on their dive computer when they're where they're learning this stuff right from the get-go. So that's pretty cool. It's incorporated into the new Patty Open Water course. So hats off to you on that project finally getting off the ground and getting a lot more exposure because, you know, now that they've launched the program and it's incorporated, that's a good thing, Alberto. I'm sure you're happy about that as well, aren't you?
Yeah, very happy. Very happy.
All right, so now let's back up. So Kickstarter, the Blue Buddy, you did that. You've had this been going on for a while. You have a new one that you've just launched on Kickstarter. By the way, I saw the video this morning for the new product, and your video techniques, you know, there was a scene where you're coming out of the restroom at your office, and then you just, I was like, okay, you know, at least he's near water. And, you know, was that part of the testing process, or was that just a little inside joke kind of thing, or what? I thought it was hilarious.
I don't know, really. I mean, my director that is cutting the scenes and deciding you know, who does what decided that I should come out from the restroom. Probably because he think I have my best ideas over there.
So yes, it's all great ideas come out of there, of course, and a few other things. Anyway, but that was hilarious. I thought that was very funny. But you have the video on there. So this is a new product that does what exactly? Go ahead and take it from there. First of all, what is it? It's called what?
It's called Dive Computer Buddy, but let me step back a little bit. We like Kickstarters a lot. It's a nice way to get exposure, but also to get a feeling on how a product is going to succeed in the market.
Yeah.
We did Blue Buddy last year, that is a wireless data logger, in January. Mm-hmm. And then in April, we did the Nitrox Buddy, that is the world's first smartphone oxygen analyzer, that
right.
is doing great.
Yeah.
And now we launch a Dive Computer Buddy, that is, again, a wireless accessory, Bluetooth-enabled, that allows you to use your own dive computer and connect it to an iPad or
iPhone, iPad, Google app, or whatever. And it allows you to go wireless again, too. So the transfer, the information that your dive computer is getting into your iPad, where you could actually kind of manipulate it or store it in a much more pleasant format for you to go back and go through.
I mean, today, you know, you have a dive and you want to log it, you should, you know, go home or get a PC or a Mac and connect to a cable And it takes time, and people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
With this toy, you know, with this new wireless accessory, we call it smart accessory, you just connect it to your like, computer right away as soon as you are out of the water, and your log is in your smartphone or tablet, and you can share it on Facebook or just record it. Additionally, we are planning to work with other companies that make dive logs, so we want to make sure that everybody can use this new device.
Yeah, it's making it easier and more useful. I mean, and that's
correct.
The key. You know, I honestly don't log my dives like I should, but I love my Blue Buddy, and it's nice to have it in there, and I can just wirelessly port it right into my iPhone. But this is like the next step to actually take the information from my dive computer and put it in there,
exactly.
You know, and do it wirelessly as well. Because the biggest headache is hooking up all these different adapter cords and all this other crap is kind of annoying.
Yep.
And I'm probably not alone in that regard. Like, we get a bit lazy at times. So this kind of solves that little issue. And putting it on Kickstarter, not only are you allowed to fund some of the project's work, but you can get the feedback from what people are wanting from this particular device, and that helps you upgrade it and work on the R&D even faster, I assume, right?
Yeah, correct. Actually, on this project, we are well ahead. I mean, we have already a production board ready, and we are, you know, we're already running almost in production, and we're building the case for the device now. So we're going to be ahead of schedule, I think. And Kickstarter for us, as I said earlier, is a way to get the feedback from the community and to get exposure. And on this new product, Dive Computer Buddy, you know, there are a lot of people that have already dive computers.
Right, and we'll give you those URLs for Kickstarter and everything next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
See, Jerry the Diver Guy is in the new Scuba Radio chat room trying to send snow away from his locale. So if you're interested, you can go join him there at scubaradio.com. Just click on the chat tab and you'll be good to go. All right, Alberto is our guest right now. We're talking about this new product on Kickstarter. Once again, it's called, there's Blue Buddy, there's Nitrox Buddy, and this new one that you just launched is called what again, Alberto? I want to make sure I get the name
Dive.
Right.
Dive Computer Buddy.
Dive Computer Buddy. Okay, there you go. So if you just do a search for Dive Computer Buddy on Kickstarter, it should pop right up, and you can see the video. You can order one and become a Kickstarter supporter, and those funds will go to R&D. You can give them some ideas, and you'll be one of the first people or first kids on the dive boat to have one of these new devices. And be the envy of all your diving friends. I love it. I think, your first two, if they're any indication, you're well on your way, Alberto. You keep coming out with cool stuff, new stuff, little products that divers find handy. And I wish you the best with that, buddy. And stay in touch and send me one.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Alberto, once again, Dive Computer Buddy on Kickstarter. You know, I mean, that's great, you know, entrepreneurial spirit right there at work. Because, you know, if he had to go through the typical channels from 10 years ago or whatever, 5 years ago, it'd take 5 years for something like this to come to market. But literally, he came up with this idea, you know, probably a year ago or maybe not even that. And here it is. They're already putting it together. And, you know, these things will probably start shipping in 6 months, which is impressive. So the technology keeps changing, making us hopefully safer divers, easier to dive, and just making it more fun. That's what it's all about. All right, coming up, we have a Dan Good Diving safety tip. And then we're going to talk about this deep water key place that we're planning to head to in the Bahamas. And there's a lion story or lion fish story mixed into there as well. So we got a lot coming up. Stick around. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 527. Popping a regulator in your mouth and pretending to be Darth Vader is so 80s.
Don't fail me again.
Next dive trip, strap a spear gun to your back and run around the dive deck like Katniss from the Hunger Games.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer of Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Nick?
Hey, Greg, I'm doing great. What's that you're reading?
Just another story about a shark attack. As usual, it's more fiction than fact.
Yes, that usually equates to bad news for sharks.
You said it. I wish these folks would learn about marine critters before deciding to be afraid of them. I mean, I've been diving for years with just about every creature that's supposed to eat me. And in my experience, there is nothing to fear from them. As long as you respect them, they have no problem with you.
I think you got it there exactly right. Despite a lot of public perception, hazardous marine life injuries are really actually extremely rare. And most of the injuries that do occur are really accidental or avoidable.
How so?
Well, most marine life injuries are the result of defensive reactions by animals, and it's usually the result of something the diver did.
Such as?
One of the big things is poor buoyancy control. If you drop down or run into an animal, they have every right to try to protect themselves. Similarly, a lack of attention to your environment can really produce the same result.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not the lack of skill or awareness, but a diver's lacking respect for the marine life or acting aggressive toward them. I mean, I see divers messing with marine life way too often.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and you're absolutely right. And just like any other creature that feels threatened, marine life animals will defend themselves.
So what can we do to avoid the confrontation?
It's really not that complicated. I think it's important to just respect the environment into which you're entering and remember that you're a guest, not the critters that live there.
Good advice, but what about unavoidable accidents? It's hard to plan for that.
You know, I don't think it's quite as hard as you think. As with every other dive situation, I think it's a good idea to incorporate a consideration of the marine life that you might be diving with into your dive planning. Think about the potentially hazardous marine life that you might expect to encounter on any given dive. Make sure that you have a first aid kit on site and that none of the stuff that's in there has expired. In addition, the use of appropriate exposure protection, things like skins, hoods, and gloves, can really help to minimize our exposure to injury, even when those critters are microscopic.
Well, what about during the dive?
First and foremost, practice good buoyancy control. If you stay off the bottom and keep a safe distance from animals and other objects like reefs and wrecks, you'll go a long ways towards reducing accidental scratches and scrapes.
Streamlining your gear can also help avoid accidental brushes, can it?
Absolutely. It can also help reduce fatigue, which in turn helps keep you in control, which in turn
helps you avoid accidental brushes.
You got it. Be aware of your surroundings and know where you are in the water column at all times in relation to the reef, the bottom, or animals.
How about just leaving the marine life alone?
I think that's the best advice of all. Be passive in your interactions with animals. Don't chase them, corner them, catch them, touch them, or pet them. They are not there to entertain you. This is their home. You're a visitor.
Makes sense. I hate it when people hassle me for no good reason.
You get chased and poked often?
Stories for another day. But back to the subject at hand. What would you say about never touching anything without gloves on?
I'd say that's good advice.
Okay, let's just say divers do everything right to avoid a hazardous marine life injury, but they still have an encounter that leaves them injured. What then?
As with any first aid, follow basic life support protocols. These start with CAB, which is circulation, airway, and breathing. And if you have first aid training, proceed from there.
And if you don't?
Do your best to keep the diver stable and get them to medical attention. Of course, you can always call Dan for assistance, either to assist you with the first aid that you're providing or to interact with a physician who may not be familiar with the injuries you're treating.
You guys are always there for us.
That we are.
Despite stories, myths, and legends to the contrary, marine life is nothing to fear. They deserve our respect and consideration. But the truth is, the most hazardous creature you're likely to encounter underwater is another diver. A few simple steps can ensure that there's plenty of room in the water for both you and the creatures that live there. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, we are here in the studio this week. Next week, we are on the road again. We're going to be in the Bahamas at a place called Deepwater Key. Just off the coast of Freeport. We're going to get the lowdown on that here in just a bit when we talk to Chris Pikes, one of the managers from that property. But first, I wanted to delve into an article that I came across this week. And there's been a lot of talk about lionfish. We've covered it quite extensively here on the show. You know, a couple weeks ago when I was in Dominica, we went on my first lionfish hunt. And I speared my first lionfish to help out, you know, some of the local divers clear the lionfish out from their reefs. One of the efforts, or, you know, people haven't really known what to do as far as to, you know, push these species out of the Caribbean or back out of the Atlantic a little bit where they're not supposed to be, and they're creating havoc. Obviously, lionfish, if you've been on any dive throughout the Caribbean now, it's probably more common than just about any other fish you see. Let alone another critter like a shark or something else along those lines. It's just there's definitely some a major impact going on. We just don't really know to what extent, but it's probably not good. I think that's a fair, you know, consensus among most people. But how do you resolve it? They're here. They're here to stay. They're not going away. The numbers are so high now. They're estimating, you know, 100,000 or 100 million. I don't know. It's crazy because they lay like thousands and thousands of eggs. There's no way we're going to be able to get these lionfish out of the ecosystem now. But the problem is they don't have any real predator, so they keep, you know, showing up more and more, and they're eating all the other fish and possibly having a bad impact in that regard to the other species on the reef. So one of the things they've been doing, which is what we were helping Simon out in Dominico with, is try to go to those dive sites and marine parks where divers are frequently going and taking a spear down with you. And if you see a lionfish, take it out. And because lionfish, they have found that do generally stay around one place. They don't move. Once they find a place they like, they stay there for, I guess, most of their life. That's what the research is saying. From the experts that I've been reading lately. And so they're saying if you see a lionfish and it's in a popular dive site, you take it out. You know, hopefully you can create some areas where divers frequent and kind of keep the lionfish at bay to a certain extent. Those create little mini marine parks underwater that the other species of fish that are possibly being affected by the lionfish have a chance to recover. The problem is, when you're spearing these lionfish, unlike Dominica, where they don't seem to have sharks, believe it or not, they don't have sharks in Dominica. I've never seen a shark in Dominica, and I asked Simon about that. He said Derek Perryman, and we may have said this on the air already, but his theory was they don't have sharks because of bananas. They say you can look at any island in the Caribbean, if they like harvest or grow bananas on the island, you won't have sharks around the island. I think that's a kind of a goofy idea, but hey, whatever works for them. You know, there's some reason where the sharks, at least on the places where they dive in Dominica, you just never see sharks. There's sharks somewhere, but they're not where the divers go.
They definitely grow bananas in Florida and in California, and there are sharks in both those places.
Yeah, but commercially, do we really grow them?
Absolutely.
Well, in California, I don't know. Do we? In Florida?
Yes.
Okay, all right. You say so. I don't know, but that was one of the things. But we're not a Caribbean island, so we don't count.
Okay.
So it has to be a Caribbean island to make that theory work. But anyway, that's the story in Dominica. But, you know, if you spear a fish, As most spear fishermen will tell you, in South Florida especially, sharks will come and potentially create a problem for you, or, you know, at least make you, you know, mess your wetsuit at the bare minimum.
I mean, there are some spear fisher folk who I have spoken with who say they believe that it's not just when you've, killed the fish or speared the fish, too, that some sharks recognize the sound of a spear gun being readied and shot.
Right. Just the sound.
They'll come before it's actually shot something.
Well, there's some reports that the lionfish that are being shot on the reef by divers with these pole spears, that eels, I've heard some anecdotal evidence that eels are starting to associate, you know, seeing the divers with the pole spears and knowing that, hey, there's going to be some free food coming up. And the eels are coming out and being a little bit more curious in that regard, knowing that, hey, I'm going to get a free meal if I follow this diver. Obviously, that could create a potential problem. We'll have to see where this goes.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
It's ocean madness, all right. Sailors call it aqua dementia. The deep down crazies, the wet willies, the screaming moist.
You're an ocean.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer. Our World Underwater, big dive event going on in Chicago this weekend. We're going to get the lowdown on that. Plus, this new resort, Deepwater Key, we're heading there next week. We're going to give you the lowdown on that when we talk to the manager in hour two of the big show. But I want to pick up where we left off here on this lionfish controversy. These anecdotal reports I've been getting about the, you know, eels starting to, associate divers that are spearing lionfish to push them back from some popular dive sites, they're starting to associate, the divers with a free meal. Or not the divers, but the act of spearing a lionfish You know, just like spearfishers have the problem in South Florida, you know, like Bill said, there's been reports that even the sound of a spear gun being cocked is starting to be a signal for bull sharks in the area to get curious and check out what's going on. They're starting to associate that sound with a potential free meal, which makes sense. I mean, in theory, it makes sense. Now, is that creating a problem for other divers? No. It's not just because the guys that are doing the spearing a lionfish, that doesn't mean that someone swimming through that same area and an eel comes out is going to come after you or something like that. They might be a little bit more curious, like they would at a, you know, a shark feeding location or something like that. But as we've talked about many, many times before, they don't come out and eat you. They don't come out and bite you or like, hey, where's my free food? Oh, you don't have any fried food? Free food, I'll eat you instead. No, that don't happen. Sorry.
That's strictly for people
that are ignorant.
With bath salts down in South Florida.
Okay. Bath salts, really?
You got any money for me? Any money for bath salts? I will eat you. And it's people doing it, not sharks and not eels.
Yeah, and they just do that for fun in South Florida.
And they chew your face off.
It's like a South Beach thing, you know? But anyway... The deal, though, is that it could create a problem for divers that are going after these lionfish that you need to be on, you know, on guard. And one of the things they're saying is that, you know, as I saw on our trip, what they're doing, they're spearing the lionfish. And, you know, Simon, he's catching them and selling them to the local market, which is, you know, that's a good thing to do. But if you're just taking them out of the ecosystem, trying to kill them, one of the things a lot of divers are trying to do is spearing them, killing the lionfish, or you know, maybe not even killing them, but stunning them enough where you got them on the pole, and then you defin them. You literally cut the fins off of the lionfish underwater, let it go. It's still alive, and it's thrashing about, but now the other fish in the area can come get the lionfish because the lionfish don't have any predators. So what they're trying to do is teach the grouper, the eels, the sharks, or whatever's in the area to go after these lionfish to take them out.
That seems like a bad idea.
Well, not necessarily.
Let me tell you why it seems like a bad idea.
Okay.
When you've definned this fish,
yeah,
they don't have the toxins.
Correct. Now they're vulnerable.
But the grouper is not going to say, "Now look, somebody came and prepared that fish for me." He sees another one. Best case scenario, you teach him that when he sees that fish, he can eat it when he can.
No, he can. No, that's the problem. That is not the case. The other fish can eat the lionfish, but they're turned off by their scent and their stripes and, you know, maybe the potential.
Oh, so they're not. They don't have toxins.
Not necessarily.
That affect the other fish.
Not necessarily.
I thought they did.
Some it affects different species different ways. But can the other fish eat a lionfish? Yeah, they can. But they don't know it. They don't recognize what these fish are. They don't get them. That's one of the theories. But I mean, I see what you're saying, but you got to read more research on this whole thing. But the problem with it, though, unfortunately, with that scenario, though, as well, is that, you know, if they are killing the fish or letting them off to being eaten, and I saw one getting torn apart by a yellowtail snapper. The problem is if the eels or, God forbid, the sharks start to associate, you know, a lionfish hunter with a free meal, is that going to create a problem for them? That people that don't normally spearfish, you know, like me, that loved going after the lionfish, is that going to create a potential problem for those folks? It could. I mean, there is that potential, just like the spearfishers that have to deal with bull sharks down in South Florida. And so some alarms are going off, like, hey, we got to be careful about trying to train the other critters to go after the lionfish. You may mean well, but you might be creating a potential problem for those people that are doing that. If the other animals get a little bit more curious or rambunctious is the word. But once again, even from that standpoint and them coming after someone who's not spearfishing, you know, that's the jump that some people have made in the past that just that doesn't hold any water, literally. It just going from that point to the point where just someone swimming through an area where they were spearing lionfish and eels or sharks or whatever were coming to get the lionfish. And then, you know, they were going to come up to the next, in, you know, unsuspecting schlub diver and come after them. No, that don't happen. That's just not, that's a jump that just has not borne any kind of truth in the long run. So anyway, it's something to be aware of. It's a hell of a lot of fun. You are helping the environment, but do we need to maybe not do the definning thing and just take them out and sell them to the fish market or do something like that? That's the jury's out. We'll have to see where that goes from here. But it's interesting research just the same in our battle against the lionfish. All right, coming up, hour two, we're getting our reports from Chicago and our world underwater and also on Deepwater Key. Stay close, that and much, much more. And a mermaid, a new mermaid who's an actress and a model. That's all coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.